Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast for today. Cloudy, breezy, rain will be changing over to snow and could be accumulating maybe an inch or so. Temperatures will be falling slowly through the 30s to a low tonight of about 23. Right now, Kenosha, 37 degrees. It's 40 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 37, 36 in Racine. Four vehicles stolen early this morning off the property of Manheim-Milwaukee Auto Auction west of the interstate on 27th Street in the Racine County town of Raymond. One found crashed nearby, another in an accident off 27th about a mile away toward Milwaukee. The vehicle that crashed by 7 Mile on the West Frontage Road was a black Jaguar, according to a news release. It was still running when a sheriff's deputy arrived. The other vehicle, a white Cadillac SUV, located off the pavement at 8 Mile and the West Frontage Road. No drivers found with either, despite search efforts that included a Mount Pleasant canine seeking a man observed walking away from the Jaguar. The other two stolen cars, those reportedly just disappeared heading north toward Milwaukee. Lightning's the cause of a house fire at 4130 47th Avenue in Kenosha last night. Fire Department Battalion Chief Matt Herrick confirming lightning from thunderstorms in the area began that fire, which produced flames which were contained in the attic area. He also noted a rather large hole in the back portion of the roof from the lightning bolt. Nobody got hurt. Meanwhile, fire just before 6 p.m. Tuesday caused damage to a laundromat in the shopping complex for the 5200 block of Washington Avenue. That's part city of Racine and part Mount Pleasant. The Pronto laundromat on the east side had visible flames from the soffit area and above. Ironically, it's the same laundromat, though a different name, damaged by an electrical fire 6 years ago. Cause of last night's fire? Still under investigation. The declaration of the Riverside Inn at Northwestern Avenue and the dam on Racine's far northwest side is a chronic nuisance property. That has been reversed now by the Public Safety and Licensing Committee due to the language that apparently doesn't allow it to exist. That was amended in 2012 due to a sunset provision is the big problem here. That according to Assistant City Attorney Nu Tran. She explained their review of the council proceedings means that the ordinance only allows the police chief to handle nuisance matters, not local government. That was the amendment back in 2012. Now she says it's only up to the police chief.
So at this point, it would revert back to the version of the ordinance that was on the books prior to 2012. And that version would have been passed in 2003. Under to the 2003 version of the nuisance ordinance, there is a procedure for the chief of police to declare a chronic nuisance. There is a procedure for the chief to cite for public nuisance premises. However, all of that is done without the involvement of the committee and without the involvement of the council.
Now, while the panel was told the legally standing nuisance ordinance goes back to the original language from 2012, approved originally in 2003, Attorney John Knutson, representing Riverside's owner, argued even that language is invalid.
I don't think the chief has the discretion. And that's it'll take me 5 minutes max, and I have copies of the ordinance and copies of the letter that was presented to the board, which caused it to be sent back to committee, and also other information that I think will be helpful to the committee.
Meanwhile, committee chair Jeff Coe maintained that not having legal standing to deal with the nuisance issue was really separate from whether the ordinance was legal. So there was a receive and file recommendation on the nuisance declaration for Riverside, and that'll go back to the council. Whether the city has a legal nuisance property ordinance on the books, that is still a question mark to be dealt with. Placement of a sign that details the hours of operation and a list of the rules for the Kenosha Dream Playground at Petsky Park, unanimously supported by the Board of Parks Commissioners this week and recommended to the City Council. Tammy Conforti, the driving force behind development of the all-inclusive playground, said that a lot of people really don't know what is and isn't allowed, and a number of questions have been raised by adults whose kids have been using the facility when, of course, the weather's good.
Not that a sign necessarily is going to negate all, bad behavior, but I don't think it's a bad idea for those people who are going to read the sign and will follow the guidelines. So I actually think it's a good idea, and I'm hoping that the process can be expedited and the sign can be made and installed, because I do believe as soon as the weather breaks and stays consistently warm, that there's going to be a large number of people going there.
Alderman Scott Gordon said the advisory sign, well, it's been needed for quite some time.
The sign isn't going to stop bad behavior, but at least with an advisory sign out there, people will have an idea of what should and should not go on in the playground. Kids were literally waiting to get on each of the apparatus to play. It's been phenomenal. It'll remain that way. There's no doubt moving forward.
City staff also told the Parks Commission that some additional signage about the park itself and the Dream Playground site will also be posted. A 46-year-old Kenosha man is in jail, accused of robbing the Chase Bank on Washington Road late Monday afternoon. A Kenosha Police Department news release indicates a man came in, demanded money, and implied he had a bomb. Got away with an undisclosed amount. Police developing information that later led to search warrants and the man's apprehension regarding a local business. And one-time Kenosha County District Attorney Bob Jamboys is now suing his former boss, the Dane County District Attorney Ismail Ozan, claiming there was a concerted office retaliation against him for challenging Ozan in last August's primary election. Jamboys says he was forced to resign as an assistant attorney in Dane County due to the way he got treated after the election. Jamboys is highly critical of Ozan for the way he managed that office. City of Racine is going to be getting a new administrator in the next month or so as Tom Friedel retires, and word has come out that three finalists are being considered now for the job, a selection team looking at that. It's required under release of Wisconsin's open records law. Top five finalists for a public office job, you have to know their names. They are Bloomington, Illinois, City Manager David Hales, James Palinick, the Director of Economic and Business Development in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and Aretha Adams, former Assistant City Manager in Lancaster, Texas. Friedel, by the way, has no part in the selection process. When the final recommendation for City Administrator will be made to the Racine Council, unknown at this point. Class B liquor license, supported by the Racine Public Safety and Licensing Committee, for what's going to become the Butcher and Barrel Gastro Pub at 306th Street downtown. Connie LaPari, representing her daughter and son-in-law, they operate a successful restaurant out in San Jose, California. She said their future plans include coming back to the Racine area.
On their many visits to Racine, you know, they say, you know, Racine can use some new things going on, maybe to attract, you know, more business. So they looked at this building and they liked it, and they'd like to turn it into a gastro pub patterned after the one in California.
The opening of the gastro pub downtown Racine and 6th Street, currently targeted for the end of May, she said it would serve the lunch and dinner crowds. Mount Pleasant's Village Board this week unanimously endorsed a resolution that calls on the state legislature to pass bills stopping the big retailers from shifting their property tax burden onto homeowners. It targets the retailers seeking to have their buildings assessed as if they were empty, and the retailers routinely challenging the assessments of their buildings. Mount Pleasant's assessor is Dan McHugh. Says the big challenges, they pushed $100,000 in taxes onto village homeowners over the past 2 years. He urged the trustees add the village's name to the list of communities seeking this change. So what he indicated has become a rather significant problem maintaining tax base.
Time is of the essence with the state budget starting now. I would ask that if all the trustees could sign this and we could send this on to our local elected officials in Madison to help support our case. That would be, the more people we have supporting this and getting on board with this, the better.
McHugh added that he's forwarded the same resolution to Sturtevant and Caledonia and Waterford for their consideration, noting it's become an issue all across the country, with Indiana's legislature voting for a change and Michigan lawmakers still considering it. WRJN.com is our webpage, and our newscasts are there in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.